are listening to, once again, a wonderful show on Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry. This is KRUU 100.1 on the FM dial and archived everywhere. And again, we do have people who email us, so do email us, Scott, S-C-O-T-T, at ardentcenter.com. Ardent is ArdentCenter.com. Scott at ArdentCenter.com. If you want to ask me any questions about the show, ideas, or anything else you'd like to talk about. Today we are lucky to have our wonderful intern Elizabeth back with us again.
Hi again.
And Elizabeth is bringing up a show today about the relationship between suffering and creativity. Sometimes pain, sometimes insanity, sometimes
conflict,
drugs. You know, people like, I need something stirred up to have creativity in my life. And this is somewhat of a misnomer that we'd like to clear up today. So Elizabeth's going to go into this and talk to us about it. So Elizabeth, tell us about yourself and why you're interested in this as well.
Oh, good question. I come from a very, very creative family. My mom is a novelist, and basically everyone on her side of the family has some kind of amazing creative power. And I grew up writing a lot and also singing. So creativity is very close to my heart. I'm hoping possibly someday to be a therapist who incorporates some elements of creativity into practice.
So we're talking about a wonderful program that, you know, to consider where you could utilize that. But you're not just a novice at singing, for example. You're actually quite developed at this.
Thank you. I've been studying voice for a long time, since ninth grade. Actually,
so this is more than going in the shower and singing to yourself.
No, this is like,
unless
this is
there's a lot of people, and there's only so many people who could fit in the shower. By the way,
that's true.
Yes.
At least the shower that I have. So I have for a long time thought about the relationship between creativity and pain, because I've often found, especially with writing, that some of my best writing, some of my greatest inspiration comes during times of pain. And I always thought, and I, you know, having studied the authors of the world, they always seem to have something wrong with them. They always, you know, some sort of intense mental issues. And I thought to myself, well, that seems really unfortunate that there's this idea that if you want to be creative, you have to go through this incredible suffering and sustain it. So when I started meditating a couple of years ago, that was something I wrestled with a lot. Am I sort of in working towards feeling more at peace and less anxious, was I actually sucking away some of my creative potential? So
yeah, that's an interesting point. So if you're going to meditate and essentially take out that stress, that conflict, that pain, will you be less creative? You know, that's an interesting point, right? Because
right.
if you think about, you know, comes to mind the greatest jazz, you know, John Coltrane or whoever, mm-hmm. right? I'm using drugs, heroin, the worst things in the world.
Billie Holiday,
on and on and on, right? So in that world, you know, rock and roll or whatever it is, it's this notion that excess and exuberance to the point of destructiveness.
Mm-hmm. Now, what a lot of meditators I've spoken to have said is that, is basically, you know, think how creative these people would have been if they hadn't been dealing with this pain. But I think that's an overly simplistic answer, and I'd like to probe that a little bit
yes.
more. So the catalyst for this particular discussion was an article posted on the website Medium, which you should look at. It's very cool. It has
what is this?
It's a website where basically people can just post think pieces, just articles based on their thoughts.
I've never heard of this.
It's sort of like a collaborative journal, but it also has a way of promoting certain articles. The editors.
And what's it called again?
Medium.
It's a medium.com?
Medium. I think it's medium.com. If you Google Medium, you will definitely find it.
Okay.
So a lot of really interesting stuff has been posted there. And this one article is called Creativity is Nourished by Conflict, and it's written by Scott Belsky. So I was reading this article. Actually, my mom sent it to me because we had been talking about just this sort of thing a couple days ago. And the essence of this article is basically what I was... It's this idea that conflict and pain and suffering are fuel for creativity. And this one... There was one quotation from this that really made me feel very anxious, actually, when I read it, because I thought, oh boy, am I doing something wrong. It says, choose to create or choose peace, but don't fool yourself into believing you can have both in full force. So is this true? I certainly hope not, because I have been working on choosing peace for a long time, and I hope I'm not diminishing my creative potential in doing that. I also think it's possible that there's an implication in what he said, that when he says choose creativity or choose to create or choose peace, maybe what he's talking about is a sort of superficial peace, a sense that, oh yeah, everything's great, everything's fine, I'm going to ignore all the problems I have.
Mood making. Yeah.
Which seems like a very destructive thing to do. So... But I'm wondering, authentic peace, a sense of truly being okay in life, a sense of having conquered a lot of your demons and being able to live at a lower level of negative emotion, of intense negative emotion, does that actually have a detrimental effect on creativity? What has your experience been with this?
Well, for every John Coltrane or every tortured artist, I could cite... the Dalai Lama.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Dalai or Nelson Mandela, or somebody who's gone through intense conflict around them, but has found a sense of home, peace in themselves to make a difference in the world around them.
Mm-hmm.
So when I think of the great Nelson Mandela, for example, I don't think of a tortured man anymore. Yes, he went through incredible suffering and torture, but he took that experience. And instead of being a bitter old man, which I would have if it was me, but instead did something with it to make such a huge, profound difference, not only in his own universe, but for the entire world as an example, right? We think of Gandhi as not being a tortured guy. You think of him having some sense of peace with trying to make a difference. You think of the Dalai Lama being such conflict with the Chinese government,
mm-hmm.
and the whole Tibetan people being decimated. And I would be so angry. And instead, his answer is compassion,
mm-hmm.
because that gives him power. So if you think about relationships, even, you're having a conflict in your relationship, which I can't imagine any relationship having conflicts.
Yeah, when would that ever happen?
I know, who's to say?
That's crazy.
I know. But, you know, every relationship, every single one has conflict. And we grow through the difficulties to develop ourselves, if we allow that to happen. I don't think it's really about, as you said, it's more nuanced. It's not about having pain or suffering or peace or not peace. It's really, what am I doing with that experience?
Mm-hmm.
What am I doing with what's happened? So I go into a big thing that I've said a million times. Trauma isn't what happened to you. Trauma's what you did to yourself and kept doing to yourself afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter how justified you are in feeling traumatized, because we all do. And no doubt you have suffered pain. Every one of us has suffered pain. The question isn't, what pain have I suffered?
Mm-hmm.
And focusing on the pain, which is my, again, beef with a lot of current psychology,
mm-hmm.
which is almost neo-Freudian in its perspective, but in a sense of, what am I creating from that? experience, whatever that experience, or a happy experience. I'm getting married. What am I creating from that? I'm having a child, a beautiful experience. What am I creating to make a difference? You know, and to not rest on our laurels or our pain or negativity as a badge of honor, but going, what am I doing with it to make a bigger difference? So I find creativity as being this point of, what can I do to make a difference with that experience, whatever that experience is? And so, yes, I could have greater motivation. And I know a lot of, I've had a lot of people that, for instance, are bipolar. And they feel that they don't want to ever get rid of that manic high. Because it's the greatest high that you could ever get from any drug ever. Because it motivates them. They have got energy, they've got things, but it's not channeled in a way where it's consistent. And just like we were talking last time about New Year's resolutions, it's not about the binge and purge. It's not about the all or nothing thinking. It's not about I'm going to do it right now or it's never going to happen. It's if I'm going to be a healthy guy next year, it's that I'm working out every single day or every other day for months and months and months. It's not I'm going to do a marathon next week. It's I'm going to do a marathon in a year from now and work up to it and then keep after that marathon. Well, I've succeeded in my goal and then stop and then gain 400 pounds. It's I'm going to do something day by day by day that I'm improving my life bit by bit. You know, the way to wear down the rocks is a little bit of water every day. You know, the way to move through things is piece by piece and having that patience. So I think you're right. I think it's been simplistic on both ends of that stick.
Yes. Yes, I would agree with that. Well, I said it, so I do agree with it.
Is there another way that you'd explain this whole thing?
Another way I would explain it, I would say if you possibly can, I think that the answer is to love the process and become
I love that.
Less wedded to the results, because I think that that kind of creativity that is fueled by suffering it can be a couple of things. Sometimes the thing about suffering and creativity is that when I'll give an example. Sometimes when I'm having a really hard time emotionally, I'll draw. And that the act of drawing helps me to work through my feelings. And I often find that what I've created is great, and I'm really happy with the result. But in that moment of pain, it's not about the result, it's about the process. So I think that one of the things about suffering is one of the, I guess, positives about it is that it frees us up to be less attached to the result. So what would be amazing is if we could cultivate that same sense of being saved by the process or being in love with the process, and but take out the element of or not be dependent on the element of suffering, be able to access that same feeling of being totally immersed, but without the suffering acting as the catalyst to bring us into that place of immersion.
I think that's true for everything. I think of many of my clients who want to get stuck in whatever emotion they have, but not only that, but to milk it. Because they feel like the way through it is to push and push, like in the society. It's always pushing harder, more. So I'm feeling a little depressed. I say this story about a veteran that I've worked with, where he's feeling a bit down. His job isn't going good. His relationship's a little rocky. Nothing terrible, but nothing good. And something's missing in his life. And he's feeling kind of empty. So instead, he starts giddy. He's like, no, this isn't working. And he becomes, and he pushes that negative element. And so I need to now have a fight with my partner so that we could create some conflict and create it even more so. I'm going to stop doing tools. So the meditation has been incredibly useful for his PTSD, for example. Mm-hmm. And he stopped meditating. He stopped exercising, which is the thing he loves. You know, he stopped doing things that worked for him so that he could feel that emotion more. Feeling more doesn't make you feel less. It makes keeps you stuck in that feeling, right? It's like if I'm thinking more in my head and I'm lost in my anxiety, thinking more about the problem doesn't get me out of it. It keeps me trapped in it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes what you need to do is paradoxical. Get out of that into a different space. What helped with the drawing was that you did something about what you were experiencing.
Yes.
It wasn't just that you just experienced what you were experiencing. You actually did something about it to create another stage that then give you a moment to breathe and have a point of reflection. Instead, for the veteran, he'd watch a war movie and then he'd become not just a little depressed, he'd become suicidal.
Mm-hmm.
And so the point is to not just become a little, to just push and push as we keep thinking in this society, but sometimes to go up the mountain, you've got to go around a boulder. Sometimes you've got to go one step back, breathe, collect yourself, get your head together before you go five steps forward.
Mm-hmm.
When couples are having fights, the best thing sometimes you could do is stop. Just if you're in a hole, what do you stop doing? Digging, right? You just stop, take a breather, get your head clear. Your head. Stop focusing on the other person. Take a step back, get yourself under control, and then you could get what do we want to create next from this situation. And it's the same when we think about creativity. You know, what's that next stage? By the way, you're listening to KRUU 100.1 on your FM dial, Mental Health Matters. And today we're talking about creativity and change, suffering, pain, dramas. And in that does not inspire creativity, but in fact keeps you stuck in trying to have a result. And what Elizabeth is beautifully saying today is to think about creativity as a process, as a means to make ourselves step by step by step to create the world that we want to create for ourselves. So it's not just about some being an artist, but actually doing something with the art that you can create for yourself, who you making yourself into that artist today. I don't care if you're an accountant. I don't care what you do. If you're a construction worker, you are still have that point of creativity, of thinking clearly, of developing who you are within yourself and within your relationships around you.
Mm-hmm.
Nice laugh.
Thank you. I completely agree, and just for a second had no idea what to say. Another element to all of this is perfectionism, which can be perfectionism can come with suffering, can bring suffering, and it almost for some reason always seems to come with art. So I think that perfectionism, that freeing yourself from perfectionism is another key to this whole...
Well, perfectionism is, again, about the goal.
Right.
About the end.
It's about the
means,
product.
Instead of the process.
Right.
And, absolutely. And I think it's a huge trap. And creativity is something intelligent people do.
Mm-hmm.
Perfectionism is a characteristic of intelligent people, and sometimes it's always a trap. It's not that, look, again, if you're my accountant, and I hope my accountant is listening today, I want you to be perfect. I want you to do
please be perfect.
But you know, that doesn't mean, you know what, my accountant actually is an incredibly creative guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've seen him do comedy and I've seen him do magic, and it's just like, it's unbelievable, because you could take that sense of creativity, that beauty, and do something with it. It doesn't, we could have that some point where we have to be focused and rigid, and points where we're letting go, which is another way to think about this, of alternations.
Oh, I like that.
Right? Of an alternation between being creative and being structured, being allowing, I know that I'm going to get up at a certain time. I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and I work out every day and this is who I am. And so I have some structure, but I also have creativity and freedom within that structure, right? What do we talk about when we do the picture? We need the picture frame around us. Even if we're going to do wonderful work where we're outside the bounds of that picture,
mm-hmm.
or if we're doing theater where we're doing to that fourth dimension and we're breaking the walls of, you know, being on stage or whatever it is, we still have the outline of what we're creating to move past or within.
I studied music theory a lot in college, and that was one of the biggest themes of the study of music, that basically there are these set expectations, and it's very easy to follow those expectations. Once you learn a set of chords, you can write a song that sounds like any other song. But the beauty comes from the specific ways in which people break from the structure. So in which people stretch the structure or play with the structure. So if you don't have it there at all, there's nothing to play with. And you can feel lost to the enormous sense of possibilities. But if you allow the structure to dominate you completely, then obviously there's no space for creativity. So it's that balance that really brings a comfortable sense of creativity. And to switch to a different genre, let's say you're writing. I know some people who are... I know a lot of people who say they need an assignment of some kind in order to write. And I think that comes from the same sort of place. A poet who likes to have a rhyme scheme, because that rhyme scheme keeps them somewhat structured and allows for their ideas to flow more freely, almost paradoxically.
Mm. So a robot could create beautiful music.
Right.
But what's wrong with it?
It doesn't have that element of breaking from the structure or stretching outside of the structure. It's not personal. It's formulaic.
Ah, okay. And I've seen 5-year-olds play on the piano and be incredibly creative.
But that's not in communication with our ideas of structure. That's just random.
Ah, so if I have a million monkeys pressing the keyboard, I'll have the greatest novel ever produced. I feel like a monkey a lot of times, but hey.
Who doesn't?
But there's this balance, right, between the two worlds. And we got to stop being afraid between those two worlds.
Right.
That there is that sense. So in that article that you cited.
Yes.
There's this sense of what, you know, that mm-hmm. you're not allowed to have some peace, that you've got to have either conflict to have that creativity, or you're not being creative. And I don't buy that at all.
No.
I again, it's simplistic from that other way, just like it's simplistic to say, well, if you were meditating and you're a Zen monk, or you're a TM meditator or another kind of meditator, and you're have this achieved state of enlightenment, that's great. So I'm not stressed. That doesn't make me more creative. What makes me more creative is that I'm still doing something with my experience.
Right. That's the sort of bodhisattva idea.
Yeah.
Right. From Buddhism, the idea that it's not enough just to attain enlightenment or nirvana or
yes.
whatever you want to call it. You need to take that and bring it back into the world and show people in whatever way you want how to reach it yourself, themselves. So with art, it's with creativity, wherever you are in your life, even if you're in the happiest place, you have, if you consider yourself to be some kind of creator, which I think most people do, you have a responsibility to continue to create and to continue to bring that to people.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that notion, because it's like, as Maharishi wonderfully talked about, you know, if I'm essentially that enlightened sweeper, you know, the janitor, mm-hmm. I'm enlightened. That's great, but I'm still a janitor. I mean, mm-hmm. That's who I am. That's what I know. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden I'm, you know, if I don't, it's like, what am I doing with my enlightenment? What am I doing with my thoughts? What am I creating from my experiences? So if that experience is a negative experience, conflict in my relationship, or within myself, or within my mind, or that experience is, I'm enlightened. I am having this incredible connection with God and peace and everything else. Okay, great. It's still the same answer. What am I creating from it?
Mm-hmm.
You're still in a body. You're still here to do something. Even if that doing something is in the absolute of nothingness, you're still creating something from that state.
Mm-hmm.
I know for some people I'm not saying that quite correctly, but it's still that sense of action, even from the absolute, or a sense of peace, or a sense of wherever it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not resting on my laurels. It's not saying, last year I did that marathon, so I'm good, I don't have to ever exercise again.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that all or nothing thinking which we're trying to get out of.
I have a wonderful article here from the Science of Us, which is the psychological part of New York Magazine, and it's by Melissa Dahl, and it's called Three Insights from a New Book About Creativity. The book that she's referring to is called Wired to Create, and it's all about these questions, all about creativity. But one of the things in it that I think connects particularly well to what we've been talking about this whole time is this idea that people who are motivated by deadlines actually seem to have less creativity than people who are able to enjoy the process themselves. Mm. And so this is a quote from the research. It says that people who derive enjoyment from the act of creating and feel in control of their creative process tend to show greater creativity than those who are focused exclusively on the outcome of their work. So it ties back into, I think, everything we've been saying, that, but also within this, there's an idea that people who are really creative, able to really click into that sense of creativity without the crazy highs and lows that come with being perfectionistic, they tend to have a very large output of work. And I think that's part of what we've been saying, that this potential for creativity is not something that that has to be, you know, a once in a lifetime thing. It's a constant part of your life, whatever creativity means for you. Scott is always saying, what do you want to create? And that is typically, I think he means, what kind of actions do you want to create in your life? But creative work in the artistic or musical or literary spheres, whatever you're looking at, those all come back to that same action.
What a great note to end this on.
Thank
you, Elizabeth. Wonderful thinking, wonderful ideas. And I really look forward to having you come back again.
Thanks, Scott.
And everybody today, right now, just take a moment before you run to your next activity and allow yourself to engulf your own creativity. Allow yourself to take your next stage for you to be creative and to be the person you need to be today for you, just you. Wonderful you right now. This is Mental Health Matters 100.1 on your FM dial, KRUU. Look forward to talking to you again soon. Bye, everyone.
Bye.